We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad this morning. And our guest today is our brother in Christ, Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. A little frog in my throat, but I'm all right.
Right on. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll have that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Bain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company that has Christian values. And please remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're listening. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
Love to. Let's pray. Gracious God, this morning as we gather wherever we are or whenever we are, it doesn't matter whether we're watching live or later, God is still in control and God is still the God of the universe. And so, Lord, we thank you for being such. And so whatever we're doing right now, may we open our hearts to hearing your spirit. And may your spirit guide us and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, Transformational Conversations.
That's a mouthful, but yeah. We're actually going to kind of do it backwards, even though the transformation works first. We're going to look at conversation first. But I want you to think about for just a few moments the number of conversations you actually have in a day. Is probably a bigger number than you think it is. If you were to guesstimate. Because a conversation can be a telephone conversation that lasts 5 to 10 minutes. Maybe you're at work and you and a coworker are working on a project together. Maybe it takes an hour. Maybe you're at Walmart and it's just you're looking for that. It's on aisle 4. That's a conversation now.
Come on.
And when you really stop to think about the number of interactions you actually have, and I didn't even, by the way, count in that one, like, social media conversation. But when you really stop to think about the number of conversations you have on a daily basis, it's a little bit mind-boggling. Now, out here in Western Oklahoma, we per capita, obviously we're not population dense as some communities are. But even still, there are so many conversations you have on a daily basis that you won't remember 30 seconds later because it didn't impact you or anything. And there are conversations you've had months ago that still impact you. But what if we actually looked at all of those conversations as an opportunity for transformation? What if we looked at every time we interact with somebody, even the smallest of interactions, as an opportunity to be Jesus to one another, to actually seek to edify one another? To actually act like we care about one another. Excuse me. I think that is one of the one of the most important pieces of the idea that we are to put on Christ. You know, one of the great biblical images from Paul is that we actually put on Christ, that we move to the background, Christ moves forward. And that even though we are who we are, we have that opportunity to be Christ for someone else. You know, as the it's a little, you know, catchphrase, but you know, you might be the only Bible somebody reads. But have you ever thought about what that actually looks like? I mean, we say it and sometimes we chuckle about it, but you can actually make an incredible difference in literally every conversation that you have. And by the way, conversations don't always involve words. I preached, it was probably a couple of months ago. We were talking about, I don't know how we got, I don't remember the exact sermon it was, but I was talking about how we interact with one another. And I said, you know, I read this. And so I'd read this online on a pretty reputable site, and I decided I'd put it to the test. You know, I was a scientist first, so I put things. That's what I do. I devise experiments. And this particular person posited the idea that we don't smile as often as we did before the pandemic. And I'm like, I live in Western Oklahoma. All right, you know, everybody knows the little two-finger deals you're driving by. If you don't, people are like, what's wrong with that person, right? But I put it to the test. So for about a week or so, every interaction I had, everywhere I went, Walmart, doctor's office, the ball game, whatever it was, I just looked around. There was a genuine lack of smiling. And so I tried to make it a habit of, you know, just smiling at someone, holding a door, just some basic things. And it's interesting because I don't think it's that we don't want to, but I think we forgot. And we forgot how to. Because as soon as you do it, it's amazing the response that you get. Well, all that to say, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, people who literally claim to walk in his footsteps, then our interactions, our conversations, need to be more engaging, edifying, growth building. Dare I even say community building, rather than a nuisance to my day. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, there's no need for us to act like it, but we've all stood in the Walmart line and had that person start talking to us that we really didn't want to listen to. All right, let's just call it, and I'm a pastor and I feel terrible admitting to that, but let's be honest. You're sitting at the ball game and all of a sudden somebody starts telling you about their life story and you're like, I was watching the football game. It's fourth down and two and it's important. Can we watch the game? You know, it happens, right? We've all been there. And if you haven't been there, it's probably you that was talking. But how do we turn all of those interactions into moments of love and hope and care? How do they become transformational? Well, I think it starts with, first off, we say things like God loves all people, or we say things God created all of humanity, and we say things, you know, God so loved the world, and all those are true, but sometimes I think we say them with our mouth and we're good at them because they roll off pretty easily, or you know, maybe there's a song or a hymn that makes us go, yeah, and I always sing those, right? But there's a difference in saying them and believing them. Do you truly look at every single other face that you come into contact with as a child of the living God? When you hear them speak, do you hear the voice of the image of God? When you think about the people who cause you joy or the people who cause you pain, do you see them as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? Or, in all of those scenarios, do you A, not see them, or B, could really care less? So many of our interactions are on the care less part. And sometimes it's at the not see part. Think about that for a moment. Think about what it would look like if we said, Jesus loves you, if Jesus can see you. That doesn't sound right, does it? There's something about that that's wrong. Because then there's a modifier. Like, if Jesus doesn't notice you, well, then Jesus must not love you. See, we do that a lot, right? People that maybe we call enemy. I just don't want to see them. Or, you know, the people who sometimes sit at the corner with the sign. You know, veteran, work, I need hungry, three kids, whatever. We try not to see them. Turn up the radio, look over here as we're turning, whatever we can do not to see people. People of other races or cultures or speak different languages, we just try to ignore them. Because if we ignore them, then we don't have to interact with them. If we don't have to interact with them, then we don't have to put on a false face. And if we don't put on a false face, then we don't have to acknowledge that they're actually created by the same God who created us. None of that sounds good, does it? You see, when you put it in that those terms, all of a sudden, you begin to think, well, I'm not that person. I wouldn't do that. That's why I asked you up front to think about all your conversations. That's why I have to think about mine. Because that's how I treat people sometimes. And then the other side of that is when you ever have that person who it, as soon as they start talking to you, it's like nails on a chalkboard. So I'm going to make a confession. I'm not going to tell you who. It was a long time ago, another church, a long time ago. I had a parishioner. Bless her heart. She would walk in the room, and I could just hear nails on a chalkboard. Just, I mean, I'm doing this right now thinking about it. That, and it wasn't that I didn't like her. She was a good person. I loved her. She was great, you know. But just that person that you just roll your eyes, you just can't help it. And again, you're like, he's a pastor. Can he say that? Of course I can. Why would I not? I'm going to tell you the truth. And trust me, if you're not rolling your eyes at somebody, then somebody's rolling their eyes at you. Again, I always put that back at us, right? Because for every person that has been my person that's the nails on the chalkboard, I am sure I have been that to them, to somebody else, right? But sometimes we treat people poorly because we just don't want to interact with them. The person at Walmart. They start talking and you're like, oh, hey, did you, you know what? I'm going to have to let you go. I forgot. I've got to go get milk, which is at the back of the store. I've got to go get milk. I forgot milk, even though you got like 2 gallons in your bucket. Because it's at the back of the store away from that person. Or you ever been in a conversation where you're talking, you know, so Monica and I are talking, and all of a sudden Tina walks up. I'm like, I've got to get out of this conversation. Oh, hey, Tina, you know what? I'm going to have to let you go. I've got to go talk to Tina, all right? You ever done that? If you haven't, it's been done to you, I know. Because what happens is, if we don't practice holy conversation, if we don't look at every conversation as holy, we begin to devalue each other. Instead of looking at someone as a brother or sister in Christ, or as a potential brother and sister in Christ, or at the very least, someone that God loves, we devalue them. We treat them as less than. I tell people all the time, I know there's all the kinds of disagreements about some of the things in Scripture and blah, 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 but the one thing I think is undeniable, Jesus was like, do not mistreat orphans and widows, like the least, the ones that get left out. Do not do that. When we treat people, when we devalue people, that is not holy. That is not of Christ. And you might be like, well, that, okay, so I've done that a few times. That's no big deal. Let me just say to you, I want you to look around right now. Think about the last time you watched the news or were on social media and saw some posting and some things. Look at the way just a little bit of devaluation of somebody can turn into some of those horrible, nightmarish scenarios. The way we devalue each other because of politics, just because we might disagree, does not make you my enemy. However, that's how we treat each other. Just because we might root for a different sports team, or we might like this brand of something over that, we find a way to mistreat people, and then of course that doesn't sound terrible until you get to, well, we don't even value you as a human. We're going to kill you. We're going to arrest you. We're going to treat you as less than. Or we're just going to treat you as just an animal rather than a human. All this might be resonating a little bit, because just go turn on your television right now. It's October the 24th. Just go turn on your TV and you'll hear all these words. This is what happens, though, when conversation ceases to be something we do that's holy, and we begin to devalue and dehumanize other people. And so I go back for this part of this talk. I go back to the beginning when I asked you to think about your conversations. We have to admit that we've done this. It's one of those situations where we can't go, yeah, I've never done that. Yeah, we have. We do it all the time, actually. So how do we stop? Well, it begins with realizing that the other person has value in Christ's eyes. That the other person, literally looking back at you, has the image of God within them. Even when they say things that you just can't stand, or they do things that make your blood boil, God still created them. Look, no one said that love and hope and forgiveness were simple. And if they did, I wouldn't trust them any further than I could throw them. Those things are hard. We're human. We take things personal. We dwell on those sorts of things. But the reality is, holy conversation, a conversation that edifies and grows and helps build, has to start with the people of God. We can't wait on everybody else to do it first. And we can't always expect it to be reciprocated. I mean, I say that, and I can't about Jesus himself. If Jesus had waited on his message of love and hope to be reciprocated before he was willing to give it, he'd still be waiting. He'd still be waiting. Instead, he reached out and talked to the widows. He reached out and went to leper colonies, to the outcast. He spoke to the farmers and the fishermen and the poor and even the rich. He spoke to Jews and he spoke to Gentiles and even was willing to forgive people who betrayed him and eventually put him to death. See, that's what holy conversation's about. Because Jesus was ultimately about edifying and building up and fostering a relationship, even with the people who called him enemy, even with the people who conspired to have him arrested and convicted and tried and convicted. I think about how Jesus would judge our interactions today. I mean, he tells stories about interactions between farmers and Samaritans and and the poor and the landowner. I mean, there's tons of them, right? I wonder how he would talk about our interactions. Are our conversations holy? Now, I'm not going to tell you that we always have to agree. Okay, don't misunderstand this little part. I'm not going to tell you that we don't have disagreements with people. Okay, and I'm not going to tell you that we don't have deep, very deep breaks in relationship. But it is our responsibility as the people of God to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And that means respecting the other. It means loving the other. I mean, I hate to bring this up. It was Jesus who said, love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Man, sometimes it's like, Jesus, can't you make it a little easier? But that's the call that Jesus gives us. That's who Jesus calls us to be. Jesus looks at every interaction and sees the face of God and says, how do I build that relationship? That's what we have to follow. That's who we have to become and what we have to embody. Even when we disagree, even when we have just vast relationship chasms just that are so wide. And we can't just rely on the other person to do that, to bridge those gaps. We have to lead with love, lead with grace. You know, one of the things I'm fond of saying, and I'm actually right now teaching a section on, at the church, we're teaching a Bible study on evangelism. And we were talking about all the good and the bad types of evangelism, which we all been part of some of all that. But one of the things that came up, and I said it kind of leads to one of the things I love to say, is when you look out at people and you see their face, there's only one face you haven't seen. Your own. Now, you might see it in a mirror, but that's not the real thing. You might see the edge of your nose. Maybe, if you're of course, everyone at home is doing this, right? But you've never actually seen your own face with your own eyes. The only way your face is ever seen is through the eyes of somebody else. Your face, you've never seen yours, but I've seen yours. I've never seen mine, but you've seen mine. I want you to think about that for a minute. That's how connected we have to be. But every time you look at that face, every time you all look at this one, do you see the image of God that's been placed within that? Changes everything when you do. It makes enemy harder when you see that face. It makes hateful speech harder. It makes off-color jokes less funny. it makes, you know, racial injustice abhorrent. It makes, you know, putting people down because of gender or any other human construct, it makes it silly to angering to why are we doing that? Because if you are, if you embody the image of God, if that face I'm looking at embodies that, then that's a conversation, a holy conversation with a brother or sister in Christ. Or a potential brother or sister in Christ. Now, in the second half of the program, now that we've kind of established that, we're going to focus on the transformational part of that. So, if in fact we view each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, how do we change that conversation at Walmart that we didn't want to have now that we're looking at the person going, okay, you're the image of God. How do we transform those conversations? And what does that mean? We'll do that second half of the program.